Hey everyone, I'm Susan Campbell and you're listening to Unfiltered, a podcast where my team of marketing professionals share their thoughts on all things branding. You'll laugh, you'll learn, and hopefully walk away with new info about how to market your business. Enjoy.
Well, Unfiltered listeners, we're back in the studio with Anna West and a lot of dudes.
You just made it sound like you're with Anna West and yourself.
I like to speak in the third person. We've already had about 5 minutes of shenanigans where there are Family Guy quotes happening. I don't know what's going on. Nevin's taking over.
That's not even true.
So why don't we go around the room, tell everyone who's here.
My name is Brian Jewell. I am the in-house web developer.
Oh my gosh. Actually, so much nonsense.
Actually, I am Nevin Rosner, account executive, SJC Marketing.
Well, we're all with SJC Marketing.
I am on your team. I like to sell things and manage accounts.
And I am the real Brian Jewell, the in-house web developer, who is forced to sit with this guy in an office for long periods of time.
Not the only one.
It's a great experience.
I am the ultra quiet, often Tony Barman, lead designer.
You're often Tony Barman.
See him on the weekends.
Former
Trot
owner and muscle car owner. Man.
Yeah, we just learned more about Tony. We podcasted with Tony earlier today, which you've probably already heard that podcast, but we learned a lot about him. And post recording, we found out he used to ride a Crotch Rocket for years.
Man, those days. Gee whiz.
Like, how many years are we talking?
Bruce Springsteen.
Glory days.
Yeah.
But traded it all for love.
Let's see. Yeah. Probably like 20 years ago. So it's, I mean, yeah, it's been.
But like, for how long did you?
Oh, how long did I owned motorcycles from the time I was like 17 to, I don't know, 20. So, I mean, not a ton,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but. Pre-children and wife.
Yeah.
We ruin everything. Brian, what do you think is a newlywed?
What do I think is a newlywed?
Do wives ruin everything?
No. No, it's fantastic. Of course, you might be listening to this, so.
And Nevin, tomorrow, you're celebrating.
Yeah.
1 year.
Big 1 year anniversary.
Wow. So Tony and I are the most pro at this.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been married?
15 years.
And I just celebrated 7.
Nice.
Zach? 2.
Almost exactly 2.
Yeah, that's right. Coming up. Anyway, we're not here to talk about marriage. We are here to talk about innovation today. Recently, SJC, we started our own innovation team. Nevin's kind of heading it up, right, Nevin?
Yep.
Why don't you tell our listeners what an innovation team can look like? Why it's important to be innovative.
Yeah. I'll pass that one over to Brian.
Oh my gosh.
As he just continues to stare at his computer and say no. So I think from our perspective, SJC Marketing, you know, why we came up with an innovation team is to continually be thinking of what we can improve, what services or products we could add. And basically kind of step outside of this, of our individual roles, and almost think of it as like, you know, if we were the CEO of SJC Marketing, you know, what would we do?
Watch out, Susan.
Watch out. Work out. But I think it's important because it's an opportunity to generate new ideas. It's an opportunity to, you know, come up with, you know, supplemental pieces to bolt on to our current services. But it gives us a chance to really discover, you know, what else can we be doing for our clients? Mm-hmm. And if we're constantly innovating for our clients and coming up with new services, I mean, I think that speaks volumes to the relationship with our clients and what we're offering them. Mm-hmm. Keeps the ideas fresh. Instead of, you know, falling back behind marketing trends or anything like that. So really, the innovation team for us specifically is to help us really stay ahead of the game in this ever-changing world that is marketing. And I think that's why it's important.
From Tony and Brian's perspective as being more of the creative teams and structure of our company, what excites you or why is innovation important to you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think just from my point of view, and Tony might think differently, is when you're kind of on the fulfillment side of things, it can be pretty easy to feel like all you're doing is taking orders. Don't really have that kind of touch point with the client as much as maybe you would like, just to kind of have an intuitive, you know, feel of what they're trying to do. And so the cool thing about the innovation team, I think for me, is kind of getting to look at where my department fits into the larger service offering of SJC, and kind of getting to cross those departmental bounds, saying, hey, you know, we could help you out with this, or we could implement this to kind of make the whole product offering a little bit better. So it's kind of cool to see just from the kind of that expanded view of what we do and what we can offer.
Even to the extreme of innovating our own product or service that we can offer that someone similar, maybe an agency similar to us, might not offer because they don't have talent like Bejewel on their team.
Sure. Yeah. But I mean, it is a
child,
good point.
Child genius prodigy.
That's getting weird. No, I mean, I get what you're saying though, because it's like all of the people who are involved in a client can look and just say, okay, not what we're doing for this specific client, but we've got this subset of clients that are all doing this sort of thing. Well, where can we find ways to optimize or make our services better and make us more competitive? So yeah, I totally agree with that, except the boy genius part.
What about you, Tony? Do you feel similar to that?
Yes. You know, from a visual communication standpoint, from a design standpoint, it's not necessarily about innovation. There probably isn't a whole lot of design out there that's new or innovative. Mm-hmm. The tools used to create it may be a little different, and we can implement those and help us become more efficient. But thinking along the lines of paring down and figuring out what's going to work best in the market, I think a lot of clients out there are using marketing tactics that just aren't great effectively. Maybe it's traditional. Maybe you're running ads and something that's not getting you any exposure or leads. Your visuals are outdated and sad. So, you know, we can bolster those things and get rid of other things. If your visuals need some work, we can innovate to figure out ways how to make those better, whether it's photography or we're using technology like a drone. You know, we've got real estate folks. We can use pieces of technology to get better stuff and using innovation in that way.
I think that's a good point for our audience, which is mostly smaller businesses, that innovation, the word innovation can feel intimidating in itself because it's like, oh, I don't have a research and development department. I don't have a market research department. I don't have a whatever department. How can I be innovative? But I think like you're saying, maybe for you, innovation is getting tools that have already been developed and making them work for your company or just thinking outside the box.
Right. That's key. Innovation, it's not necessarily thinking of something new, but thinking differently a little bit. That's different. That's a different. So thinking about your product and how it's perceived in the marketplace a little differently.
And it's thought leadership too, I think. You know, innovation, isn't it? It's not, like you said, it's not coming up 100% of the time, not coming up with a new product or a new service, but, you know, using what you have, innovating new ways to use the tools that you have to then make yourself be the thought leader for your particular industry or whatever the case may be.
So that's what we're focusing on.
Yeah.
You know, all around, visually, from the website, from the leader side, from the manager side, and using all of our, just to get a little bit outside of what we would normally do.
Yeah.
I think that helps a ton.
Yeah, just to talk about it. So we've had, I think we've talked about this before on the podcast, but we've had the opportunity to visit VML a couple times, a global agency that's
awesome. They're very awesome.
They're awesome. Headquartered. Wow, there it is.
There you
that
go.
That was the word.
Nice.
The word was headquartered. Okay.
And now you know what my husband deals with on the daily. We have had the opportunity to visit with VML a couple times, headquartered in Kansas City, global agency. Their chief technology officer was recently actually promoted, I believe, to chief innovation officer, if I remember correctly. And he's our main contact there. And so they've come in and just let us brainstorm and talk and vent and share with us exciting new things that they're doing. And when I think of innovation, that is where my mind tends to go. It's like, oh, wow, they have these, you know, clients like Gatorade and Ford and Wendy's, and they have, you know, millions of dollars in their marketing budget, and they're creating new concepts for Ford that are just like mind blowing and no one is doing. And that is very innovative. If you let that overwhelm you instead of inspire you, I think that can be a downfall of innovation. So knowing like your limits and your resources, but not strain from thinking innovation. Brian, I think sometimes you have a very entrepreneurial spirit. Mm. Can't say that word. And you have a lot of entrepreneur friends.
Right, yeah.
And so sometimes when we're talking, you will often reference some of your buddies who
right.
are doing things that I think would be considered innovative, even right. though they may be a one man or small shop.
Sure, yeah.
You don't necessarily have to name drop, but I guess what inspires you or motivates you about what they're doing?
Yeah, well, I think where I come from it is, and a lot of, you know, my interests are in the tech world. And so just getting to see a lot of my friends and colleagues who are working in startups or have, you know, founded their own startups and how they approach problems. And, you know, it's inspiring for me because really the common theme, if there is one I see, it's they're taking a little resource, you know, a lot of times when they're starting their company or they're building their product or their idea, they don't have a lot of resources
right.
and kind of, you know, developing some pretty impressive output with that. And so kind of where I can apply that with what we do is saying, okay, you know, we may not have the budget of a VML client, but just the way the technology has gone and allowed us to iterate, we can produce things that someone might look at like, holy crap, they spent tons of money on that mm-hmm. Just because of the nature of what it is. So I think I draw a lot of the inspiration just from seeing what those guys do.
Yeah.
Because they really do put out some stuff that you're thinking, I mean, they must have had $10 million in seed funding, but it's no, it's just a guy in a mm-hmm. garage.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that lean mindset that I really, really take into what we do.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I think innovation is tied to technology,
mm-hmm.
But it exists outside of it. I think one, sure. when I looked yeah. at this question and I thought about who really inspires me as far as how innovative they were in a market that they defined. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go ahead and add this disclaimer. I don't wear any of these products. Notice
oh,
how
you're
that
not
pulls
being
my
sponsored
ears.
By this
no.
company that you're about to reference?
No.
Okay.
Local company in Liberty, Missouri, Nickel and Suede. The lady defined a brand new product, mm-hmm. a brand new industry of these leather, lightweight leather earrings. Now, if you know their story, her husband basically built leather belts. And they had
for babies. That's how it started.
And they had extra leather that they didn't know what to do with. And mm-hmm. she came up with this concept of what if we use this light leather as like an earring, as an accessory for women. And all of a sudden, she created a market. And since then, she has continued to innovate that product and continue mm-hmm. to gain this exposure, not just locally in the Kansas City area, but across the country. And it was, I think, that just that pure innovation, that innovative mindset that she was able to mm-hmm. create a now popular industry. So, you know, locally, I think that's a huge testament to what
yeah,
that's having that example. Innovative spirit, what mm-hmm. that can look like and turn into.
Right. Yeah. I've gotten to hear her speak twice, actually. And it's a really, really cool story. Yeah. I could go on about that for a little while. But it also kind of makes me think about Susan and how she started. And after our break, I'd like to kind of revisit that, like the history of SJC, where we are and why this team is now so important to what we're doing. So we'll be back in just a minute.
Hey folks, listen up. This is Tony B, lead designer for SJC Marketing. Don't hire your local newspaper for graphic or web design. SJC Marketing has a ton of talented people who are ready to make your brand unique and effective in today's marketplace. Check out some of our work at sjc.marketing and we hope to serve you soon.
Okay, we're back with Unfiltered Marketing, and that break literally was unfiltered. Hopefully Zach doesn't
use it.
Sneak any yeah. of that in yeah. there. Actually, one thing that's funny that we were talking about was that in September, we are celebrating 13 years of SJC Marketing. So that means the company started in 2005. Hey, Brian, how old were you in 2005?
I was 9 years old.
Oh, Susan is just going to cringe. When she started this company, her web developer was 9 years old.
Still building websites. But I was 9, and they were terrible.
You started at age 9?
Oh, yeah. My first website, I think, was probably when I was 8, and it was bad.
That's incredible.
But the fact
that
you were
even,
building websites.
Right,
when you
like
were 8.
You wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Well, actually, at the time, I was making videos with the neighbor kids, and it was just a place where we could put our very, very poorly made videos.
But if we go to the Wayback Machine.
Nope, it's gone.
Dang it. Yeah, it's somewhere.
Good
the
luck.
Content is somewhere.
Maybe.
Are those videos
somewhere?
Hi, guys.
Somewhere? It's Brian Jewell in this video today.
You know, actually.
That's what 8-year-old Brian Jewell sounds like.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, unpack my issues here, but someone did make a comment, like, on one of my YouTube videos about my voice. Wrecked me for 2 years. It's okay. I had one go viral, so forget that guy.
Hey, Brian. Okay, I've known Brian for a long time. We've probably talked about that too. But I remember when I was coaching volleyball, you were still in junior high or high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And so after school, you would hang out in your brother's athletic director office. And every time I walked in there, you were just like on the computer, like doing some, like writing code or uploading videos to YouTube or something.
Absolutely was.
I never would have imagined all these years later that we'd be working together.
It's true.
It's kind of crazy how life works.
It is crazy.
Yeah. In high school, you were also.
There's a little tear pouring down.
I'm just so proud.
In his face.
Oh my gosh. I think we've talked about this too, but it's just too fun to not mention. Also in high school, what else were you doing to make income, Brian?
I don't know to what you're referring.
I'm pretty sure you do.
Nah, don't.
Brian, tell the people.
Okay, fine. Yes, I filmed beauty pageants.
Let's be a little more specific.
Okay, Miss USA beauty pageants.
Yeah. So our POTUS wrote your paycheck?
I guess indirectly, yeah. It's you can make the assumption that he created that job, but
So it was like every high school boy's dream, but not really yours.
It got kind of boring.
Yeah.
Once you have to, I mean, Zach can attest, editing 6 hours of footage is not fun.
Zach is acting like he's just pressing buttons.
Let's say video production was not my calling.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Ooh. I have got us off the rails a little bit. Hey, Nevin, what was your first job?
First job?
Yeah. Or did you have a job in high school?
I did. I had four.
That doesn't surprise me for some reason. I had four.
At one time.
Yeah.
I worked at a golf course. I painted. I worked at Lowe's. And I worked at Cold Stone Creamery.
Ooh, nice.
Assistant manager at 15. What?
At 15?
Yeah.
Is that even allowed?
Yeah.
You couldn't drive.
Yeah, my mom dropped me off. But I had to wear a white shirt and everybody else wore black shirts because I was the assistant manager.
Did you get fired at 16?
Funny.
17.
Oh, man. I worked at a flower shop. All through high school and college. Nice. What about you, Tony? What was your first job?
Oh, my goodness. Helping my dad do carpentry stuff around the house, scraping windows and fun stuff like that. My dad would pay me well. And then I was a busboy for a steakhouse. That did not go well.
Stop eating the steak.
Yeah, the leftovers. Yeah. No. That wasn't it, actually. Just tons of jobs. But yeah, those were along the lines of my first.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Little known fact about Tony Barman. Also, he built his house with his own two hands. Every square inch of it.
Well, you know. Square foot.
Okay, sorry. I'm not good at math.
Okay, Ron Swanson. Yes,
he's my hero.
Got some gold buried out front, too.
Come looking.
Okay, wow. I've gotten us way off track.
Yes, you have.
Well, in a way, somehow this probably relates to innovation because we all aspired to make changes in our life along the way, and that has something to do with innovation.
Yeah, man. I mean, the people in this room, this is the innovation team.
Yep. Right? Zach's not on the mic. He's producing, but he's part of the team too. Yeah.
Yeah. We need Zach.
It's true.
Got some fresh death ideas.
Tony and Zach are definitely the quieter, like maybe observers, slower processors who kind of sit back and take in. Nevin, Brian, and I probably talking more nonstop.
Nevin never shuts up.
Ever. Never. And never end.
Part of his name. Never.
End.
Shuts up. That's my middle name.
But so whenever you guys do talk, I always am like, listen to this, man. Because it's going to be very wise and well thought out. So I think it's
talk to my wife about that, actually.
Tell her to listen to this podcast. Yeah. But really, I think that goes back to how to create an innovative culture. Or if you want to create an innovative team within your company, it's important to have, one, people who are passionate about keeping things fresh and making changes. Two, you need a variety of personalities on the team, because if everyone was like balls to the wall or gung-ho, or probably shouldn't say balls to the wall. Or if everyone was super passive and like, oh yeah, that would be cool, but we could never do that. Nothing would get accomplished.
Right.
So I think what's represented in this room, even though there should be more females, please, someone else on SJC, come rescue me. It's just cool to see how everyone's brain thinks differently.
I brought this out a little bit in the podcast about me, is not being scared of the tools that you have, because they're always changing. Brian's not really afraid to dig into some new tech. It doesn't really bother me to have to hop on some new technology and learn that. Zach, I'm pretty sure he'd never, I'm sure he flew a drone a little bit, but it jazzes us rather than like intimidates us. So instead of saying, you know, we don't really feel comfortable with trying that, breaking a few things to get there, thinking along those lines and not letting that level scare us. And then it opens up the door for being able to just kind of unleash those capabilities and not being intimidated by it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it's important. But what if not everyone on your team does think that way? Like, what if there are those people who they just want to come and do their job and leave, and they like what they do maybe, but it's not like they're trying to go above and beyond. And how does that, is there a place for them in a in an innovative culture? Is that needed?
There is a place for them. And I think in my opinion, those folks that have that innovative characteristic, that drive, like Tony said, they get jazzed up about these new ideas. I think those folks, along with the, you know, the CEO, the president of your company, they're the ones that are kind of that driving force to say, you know, where do we want the company to go and how do we get there? I think that the innovation team, those people, they're the ones to define what that roadmap looks like and then cast that vision to those people that just want to come in and do the 8 to 5. And I think it's up to that innovation team to keep the drive, to keep the interest for your folks that may not want to do the actual innovating or don't get jazzed about, you know, certain things, but they will support that vision, right? And I think they're your pillars that kind of keep the house up, right? They're maybe not necessarily the foundation, but they're your supporting beam kind of thing. So like I said,
insightful.
Yeah, they're not the ones to essentially cast the vision and draw the direction, but they're the ones that you're going to use to support that. Does that make any sense?
Good. Yeah, it's good. I have the whole like visual. What were you going to say, Brian?
Well, I was just going to say that, I mean, that's a good point. But if you're talking about the kind of employee who just is looking for the clock to run out so they can go home, I think they filter themselves out. I mean, that's the reality, especially in a creative space like marketing, where it's so much, it's changing every day. And so if you try to come to your job in 2018 with the same skill set and tool set that you did in 2013, well, you're not going to have a job for long.
Right.
And so I think, at least in our space and in a lot of companies that kind of are parallel to this kind of spaces, it's kind of on the responsibility of the employees to be self-learners to some extent. And I think that's why the people that are here. We've done a lot of things, but we keep learning. And like Tony said, we're not afraid to jump into new tech or retrain ourselves. And I think the idea of retraining is something that people may shy away from, but I think it's really important for kind of an innovative culture.
Great. Yeah. Even if that means just reading books.
Right. Absolutely.
Or, you know, people that have been doing it longer than you or have had good success and finding inspiration from those, or watching trainings. Like even if in a smaller business like ours, we can't afford to go to these massive conferences every year, but we could pay for a webinar or some sort of training is more local. Agreed. I think that's important.
And I think too, like the size of your agency is a big deal too, because if you've got someone that just wants to roll in 8 to 5, then maybe a bigger agency is kind of the better fit for them, because you know, they come in, they do their job, and they leave. That innovation, the decision making is well above their head, and they've got someone that just says, this is what we need you to do day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And people are content with that. From a smaller agency, you have to consistently be learning, even if you are not the person that's going to be innovating and coming up with company direction, but you have to consistently be learning and contributing because you're a smaller agency. So, I mean, I think people just want an 8 to 5 or go work for a big agency.
Well, and speaking outside of the marketing realm and just into small businesses, I think they feel that too.
They're
putting their blood, sweat, and tears, their capital, their family on the line for this. So if they are finally able to bring on help, they need people who are going to join that vision with them and be willing to work a lot of hours possibly in the first few years to make it to that place where it's like, okay, now we can get more help. And I, to bring it back to our company and to Susan, I mean, when she started this 13 years ago, she was doing it on her own. She quit a good job she had because she felt like she had a passion for what she wanted to do and thought, oh my gosh, could I actually make this happen? And now 13 years later, to see what she's built, and I think it speaks a lot to her that she's actually not in this room, because it was her idea for us to create an innovation team, but she didn't want to be the one running it because she believed that she had employees who could dream big and think big for the company. And so,
and I think that parlays,
she supports everything we're saying.
Yeah, and I think that parlays into what Brian talked about as far as, you know, the filter, because even from, you know, Susan's perspective as the leader of the company, and, you know, you have this innovation team in between all of us, like there's this direction that's being cast. And we've been part of meetings with Susan too, where she's like, hey, here's where we're going. And if you want to get on board with this, fantastic. Let's work hard and get there. And then if you have some folks that are just wanting to clock in and clock out, she understands that, you know, that may not be for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's where that filtering out kind of comes into place.
Yeah. I think too, it's important for any organization. I mean, just taking a step back from ours. I mean, I have some friends who are CEOs of companies and they've just got incredible organizations. And one of the things that I see from companies that are year over year consistently growing and doing well and have excited employees even saying so on Glassdoor, which is hard to do these days, is, you know, there's a coherent company vision. And, and you know, it's been, I want to say, drilled in, but everyone finds a place in it, or they can understand where the company's going. There's a culture fit for them. So I think that's important.
That's
kind of saying, okay, where are we going? And I think it's cool that Susan has tasked the innovation team to say, okay, you know, I see, I mean, from her perspective, right? Like she sees one thing, but what do the employees see? Mm-hmm. And kind of coming together to kind of create that coherent strategy going forward is awesome. Yeah. I think it's one of our competitive advantages for sure.
And when you build the strategy and you build the culture for any company looking to have an innovation team or just help with direction, you build a culture, you build a vision, and then you market that culture, and
right.
you market that vision, you start to acquire the people
yeah,
that can associate
absolutely.
With the culture, with the vision. And then from that point, you know for a fact you've got the right people in place.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh, my heart's just so full sitting next to you, innovative people.
And there it went.
It's gone.
I mean, yeah, brah. That was awesome.
Okay, so to wrap this up, what about small companies who maybe they're five people, maybe it's one person, especially when it's just one person, it's really hard to imagine. Like, they do have all the ideas because they started the company because of it, but like, how do they get to the next place? Like, even some clients we work with, they're like, we really want to add this service, but I feel overwhelmed at the thought of making that happen while I'm trying to make XYZ happen. Like, what are some tips that you guys would give people for just like taking baby steps or taking the next step, or how to decide when to be innovative and go out? All of this speaking from most of us not having our own business. I mean, you've freelanced,
sure.
Tony, and same with you, Brian. You did have a business at one point, but just from what we've seen with working with clients on a daily basis, like, when is the time to take a step and how can they do that?
From my perspective, when you start to take a step back and try to be innovative, and we kind of had this conversation, Anna, it's the difference of trying to cast a wide net and reach everybody versus really trying to figure out who is your target market, niche out that service, and then do everything that you can to innovate and become the thought leader on that particular niche. And I think for small companies especially, if your target market's too wide, you tend to fall short. But if you're able to define who you're really after and innovate for that particular client as a small company, I feel like you're leveraging your resources a lot better in that situation. And then you're able to really deliver an innovative service or product for that target market that can then be replicated, you know, across the board for the industry. I think that's where you find that quick success.
That's good.
I think to tie right into that is not compromising on the quality of whatever you're doing in order to gain more business.
100%.
Personally, stick to your guns and even get better at what you do or produce or sell or whatever. Just be true to that.
Yeah.
And don't compromise in order to get 100 more whatevers or
Yeah.
As an example.
I think from my perspective, when I think about innovation, and the most reasons that anyone that's in a small business is thinking about innovation, it's to give their company a competitive advantage over their competitors. And like using the example that Nevin did with the company that was making leather belts and then went to earrings, it was something that they were doing really, really well that allowed them to add a complementary service. And they didn't pivot to a completely different industry. They're still making leather, right? They're adding something that is complementary to their core service that they can do really, really well. They've identified from either the current customer base or a need in the market that using their same facilities and same team can add on to their core product and service to do what's called a profit maximizer. It's not really a good idea for a small business to pivot to a completely different industry when they're relying on the cash flow of current customers. Mm-hmm. And so I think just from the perspective of where you can take things, is think, what do you do really, really well? And what are things that you hear customers constantly asking for? And can you add something that's going to, one, increase your bottom line, but two, help you retain? So that's what I'd say.
All great tips. Great. Yeah. Good job, guys. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up. But if you have liked what you hear, and if you've been listening for a while and have not left us a review, please do that. Give us a 5-star rating, hopefully, and share this with your friends, colleagues, family. Also, if you've got questions or some topics you'd like us to cover, feel free to tweet us at MarketingSJC, send us a Facebook message, DM us on Instagram. We're everywhere you are. So we want to... That was creepy.
Creepy. We're stuck.
We find you.
Tony's still on MySpace.
I'll see you when you get home.
I was just talking about MySpace yesterday.
He's on an AOL hustle.
Yeah. Anyway. We do it for the Vine here at SJC Marketing. Please.
Okay. All right. We'll stop boring you. Until next time, stay unfiltered.
Continue today's topic with us by tweeting your thoughts to Marketing SJC or visit our website, sjc.marketing.